Hi, this is Camden Toy from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, and you're listening to the 8-Bit Geek. Don't go away.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the 8-Bit Geek. It is 8-Bit Horror Fest around here, and this is week number... Dose. That's two for anyone living in Hollywood. We are...
What?
Huh?
What?
We are...
What does that even mean?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure... I have a feeling if you live in Hollywood, you probably know a little bit of Spanish to know that dose means two.
I don't make the rules, man. Okay. So today we are reviewing Friday the 13th remake reboot. That was made in 2009. Mm-hmm. The last Friday the 13th movie. That was made ever.
Oh, because since then they've tried to do a found footage movie, and no one can get it past the writing portion.
And will ever be made. It's done. No. Friday the 13th is over.
Oh, actually, yeah. With this recent lawsuit, though. No. Well, the recent lawsuit. They like the name Friday the 13th might be over. So we'll see.
That's fine. We had Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X. We all knew what the fuck it was.
Yeah.
Hey, we got Freddy versus Jason and Jason X. You're right. Dude, so I'm happy.
They start the reboot, the next reboot. Just call it Crystal Lake. Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah. Or Murder Cabin or whatever.
So, and then you go on and just put Jason. Mm-hmm. And Jason 2. And Jason 3. And then
Rambo?
And then, because there is another Friday the 13th in the works, right? It's supposed to come out next year.
Yeah, there is. Like I said, it's been kind of in developmental hell. Like, I don't even think it's from the same folks. I think, I don't even know if Sean Cunningham has anything to do with it. He was one of the, he directed the first one, and he kind of created it, along with one other person who sued him and won. I'm trying to remember who the lawsuit was with. But that's why the video game hasn't had any updates, is because of that lawsuit.
Yeah.
And it sucks because that we got denied the Jason X costume because of that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they could just rename the game.
They could, but they haven't done anything since last year. I think this was June of last year. So Victor Miller, he sued.
Why did he sue?
To get the rights back.
Is he the owner of the license?
Sean S. Cunningham, and I guess they were partners, and Victor Miller sued and somehow won the rights to the franchise.
Oh, so they can't even use his likeness.
Yeah, I mean I don't think they could use the hockey mask likeness, if I'm not mistaken. They can use older likenesses.
Well, that doesn't work.
It's
a bummer.
Okay, so let's talk about this movie.
This movie, a group of young adults discover a boarded up Camp Crystal Lake, where they soon encounter Jason Voorhees and his deadly intentions. Now, this is a new Jason. I was not aware of this Jason, and I did not know they updated Jason to be an absolute monster machine of a... when he started running, I crapped myself. I was like, what?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it was no longer the 80s slow pace, creepy stalker. It was the, brutal, I'm coming.
Yeah.
I'm here. It's not the man, how we've been running for 20 minutes. How is he still 5 feet behind us? It was he's 5 feet behind him because he's been sprinting too.
Yeah. Motherfucker been working on his cardio all these years. That and digging tunnels, tunnels and cardio has been Jason's game for the last, ever since he saw his mom die.
Okay. So, we were talking a little bit before we started. We have, notes. We take notes. I took 4 pages of notes, and most of my notes really are just more last time I had a whole bunch of questions when we did Nightmare on Elm Street. I was just why is this happening? What happened in the original? I don't remember any of this and stuff like that. And this time it's really just a play by play.
I
just
kind of
remember what was going on.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that this was a Michael Bay movie.
He produced it. His production company worked on it.
Well, that still makes it a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah, it's the same company that worked on Nightmare on Elm Street, surprisingly.
Yeah. In fact, I even have on here, but in my notes, I was going to say just real quick that the original movie, the original Nightmare on, oh my God, Friday the 13th movie, pretty much happens all in the first 30 fucking seconds of the movie as we're flashbacks to the mom being the killer and stuff. Like, I was like, man, we just want to get straight to Jason, don't we?
Exactly. And that's what I loved about this. There was no bullshit at the beginning. Not like Nightmare, which danced around it. And then Nightmare came out a year later. You think they would have learned?
Yeah.
I essentially made a note towards that as well that said, retelling Jason's origin story is almost as bad as Batman's. Like, how many times they do it?
Yeah. They did it three times, technically.
Yeah, but like, I was okay, because at first I'm like, okay, so is this Flash? Are we jumping to the end and then going back to the beginning? And then it was just like, oh, no. They just wanted to let you know, like, in this version, this happened, and Jason watched. Like, and then we're going to jump to the present.
Yeah.
I have the names are going by.
Hold on. Go ahead. They retold the story, the origin story, twice, just in case you missed it. They told
the recap.
They gave you a visual, but then right after that at the campfire, they went ahead and gave you the story again.
Yeah. So in my notes I have, oh, hey, Brad Fuller, also known for his work on Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hitcher, Nightmare on Elm Street, 2010, The Purge, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Ouija, and The Quiet Place. So I was like, yeah, guy's got a pretty fucking full like roster of movies that he's a producer on.
Yeah.
But I also have sexy teens headed into the woods for sexy times. They gonna die. And then like the next note immediately is like, and they're there for weed? Haven't they ever seen a Friday that... Oh, right. And then... Not long after that, they're at the thing talking about the movie, and I was like, apparently they have seen Friday the 13th.
Right? Yeah, it's meta as fuck.
Yeah.
But even at the beginning, I do love when they're showing like the background footage. I love that they went black and white to kind of show that it was not the present time. But also, it was kind of cool because they didn't, in the older movies, they didn't really show Jason as a kid except for the first movie where he jumps out of the boat. But this one, they even showed Jason as like a mongoloid boy, like right off the bat when they show him like seeing his mom get killed. I love that they at least give you that description early on that this kid is not normal, you know, and people thought he drowned and everything. But like, I love that they did that. And then, yeah, the same thing with the present day. I said present day goodness. And then the first thing I said was Jason is a weed farmer now.
Yeah. The problem I have with that whole setup isn't anything that anything. I mean, I guess the real problem I have is the fact that they went out of their way to make sure you knew who the nerd was, like, hella hard. But they even address that later in the movie when they're just like, "Look at us, we're just a bunch of stereotypes."
Yep.
So that was funny. But in the beginning, I was just like, I kind of did the same thing that Doug did, where I was like, "Okay, he's got the Star Wars shirt on. He's being loud and obnoxious. He knows everything. He's a spaz. We get it. He's a nerd." It's a Friday the 13th movie.
In fact, I put that as Mike is a fucking idiot. In fact, they all are. And then I said, never Night Explorer.
Yeah. Some of my notes include, who goes camping in sexy underwear? And then my immediate note afterwards, boobs. And then I've got couple two is off to F, and lonely guy is walking through the woods alone. He's going to be the first to go.
Yep.
No, for
next
sure.
Homeboy found some weed. Next one, it's a trap. And there he goes, dead. Jason in the sack mask instead of the hockey mask. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, we're going OG here. Thinking like, oh, man, I hope we get the mask of this movie. And,
yeah.
It comes later, and we'll get there.
It was cool, man. When I first saw I was disappointed at first, because when I think Jason, I think hockey mask. So I was like, fuck, man.
That doesn't show up until like the fourth movie though, right?
Third. It's the third. It was the 3D movie. He got it off of like the nerdy kid. The nerdy kid brought it because he was a prankster, and fucking Jason took it from him and killed him.
Yep.
There we go. But it's funny because, yeah, I love how this movie kind of fast tracks the series. You get like a compilation of like the first three movies all in one in this film because you get to see like the evolution all in like an hour and a half of Jason.
Here's the question I have about the whole sex scene in the camping in the beginning. If Wade was right next to the tent, like being a perv and spying on them and wanting to watch or whatever or scare them, why would Richie leave the the camp and walk a quarter mile into the woods and be right? like, Richie, I know you're watching us from over here.
Yeah, it's like, what is he using, a telescope?
Yeah. Oh man, I thought that was so, I was like, all right, I guess nobody's gonna address that, huh? Before we film it.
2010 Scott Baio.
I had to look the dude up because I was like, what do I know you from? I think he's been in a handful of things, but I think it's just generic. Yeah, I think it's just generic white dude. Like, it's just like he looks like every other white dude that's been up.
Yep.
I have for that part, I go, Shadow moving outside the tent, watching from the woods. Richie yells out the tent, I'm gonna kill you. Lol, not so, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, and I go, Richie goes to find the friend to tell him to fuck off, and now he's disappeared, and the girl's freaking out. All right, he's in the woods. He's walking around. He found the weed and his friend's glow stick. Oh, God, and his ear. Oh, God, and his dead friend. Like, I like the ear just, like, in the weed, like, almost like a, I don't know, like, it. Before he saw the body, I was like, man, is he just leaving? Did Jason accidentally leave a body part behind? Like, that's fucked up. But then he, like, looks, and, like, his dead buddy's there, too. But there's just like an ear with the headphone like hanging from the weed bush.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah,
I didn't do well with the burning body. I looked away. I looked away because I was like, oh god, that's like one of the worst ways to go. This is bad.
Yeah, she got roasted inside.
Yeah,
yeah. So the girlfriend gets he like burst through that fucking tent. That was also really cool. Yeah, when Richie shows back up, she's hanging from the tree by her ankles with the sleeping bag around her above a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then he steps on a bear trap, which was also intense.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very gory, too. Very detailed.
Yeah. And then she was trying to get out of the bag, and she busts out of the bag a little too late. And when she hits the ground, smoke comes out of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I was like, that was a sick fucking effect. Like, I liked that. There's like moments in the movie where there's just these cool effects, and that was one of them. It reminds me of that one stupid shot in Elm Street where she falls asleep in class and everything explodes around her. Where again, I was like, damn, that was fucking cool. Like, that was a unique kill. Because we've seen him beat people to death with sleeping bags before.
Yeah.
In Jason X. So it felt like a nice little callback to that, as well as being like, oh, she got roasted alive in that, because the bag didn't necessarily catch on fire.
Got flame retardant, man.
Yeah, and so, oh man, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
My next note after that is, these aren't even the main fucking characters.
I thought about that because I was like, when it happened, I was like, I go, well, who do they get now? They spent a lot of time.
I was like, cannon fodder.
Yeah. But when
go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
I was gonna say what happens next is we follow the other couple that went off first, and they find his house and stuff, which I liked all that. And they find like Mrs. Voorhees' head and all that creepy grossness, and then like he starts like stabbing through the floor and takes out that other guy. It just like gets him in the foot, and then gets him in the leg, and then gets him in the hand, and then like pulls him down. And I was just like, man, that's like a shark attack. Like, that is fucking just vicious.
It was pretty rad.
I
like the interesting thing about this too, because in the past they wore Jason's sweater, or they wore his mom's sweater as a sign of like kind of being the mom role. But in this one, they kind of changed it with the necklace, the locket with the picture of Jason's mom in it. So that was interesting too. It was like a weird fashion choice, but it worked. You know, I think it worked well.
Well, and they comment at the very beginning that when they find the locket in the house, the dude's like, yo, you look like her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, I don't. Even though it's like, it's very clearly a picture of her.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
That they like put in like older timey clothes or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, ah, okay. So, but for whatever reason, I don't know, that did not click with me. Like, until much later in the movie. But anyway, so we see, she gets away. She runs back to the camp. She finds the dude with the bear trap in his leg, and she's like scrambling to get him free. Jason shows up and runs. This is what Jared's talking about. He fucking runs at them and just machete to the dude's head, just cleaves it right down the middle. I mean, just classic. It's kind of like a classic move from Jason. And then he like struggles to get the machete out, and he turns and she's backing away, or she's trying to get away. And again, we see him like lunge at her, mm-hmm. and then like it looks like he's getting ready to attack her, and it cuts to black, and it, you know, we get the title card. And I even commented, it was like title card 23 minutes in, like that 23 fucking minutes before we even get to the actual fucking movie.
Yeah.
So
here's a note that I have that now I'm reading it. I don't really get, but maybe you guys might be able to help me. I said whistles were from the dead counselors. I don't know what the fuck that means.
There were in the house. They found like a
whistles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I remember. I was thinking like whistle, you know, like somebody whistling. Okay, yeah. Perfect. Okay, yeah, because that made sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I remember. I didn't make any notes on that, but I really liked that like
call.
It's like a trophy
callback. Yeah.
Like trophy character design, set design, sort of thing to find like this, like because they weren't just like. It was like he made an arts and craft project out of it. Mm-hmm. It was like an intentional like trophy thing holding all these whistles that were dangling.
Well, I think that's the big difference between this movie and the previous movies. They actually showed Jason having some intelligence. Like he set up booby traps. He set up a bell system to alert. Like that's one thing that they kind of went behind the scenes to where it was like, well, how does Jason always know where somebody is and he just pops up there? Well, he's got his own little system to trigger to say, oh, there's someone on my property. He also had a sharpening blade down in the basement.
Yeah. The dude was a full survivalist, man. He was like full survivalist, man.
Yeah.
And I even commented on my notes, too. I was like, really interesting that we're seeing Jason sit down and sharpen his machete. It kind of gives it that realism and less, you know, like less mystical or mythical in a way. You know what I mean? Where it's like, how is he doing this? It's like, oh. No, this dude's putting in the fucking work.
Yeah,
this makes sense.
So I was really impressed by that a lot.
Yeah.
So
and then after that, we're introduced to the main cast, the real cast, as they arrive at a gas station. And I literally did not bother to learn anybody's name.
Me neither.
In this movie. And so I said, "All right, into the main cast featuring Jared Padalecki and Killer Frost."
Yeah.
I could not wait as soon as they introduced the blonde main character, well, not main, but the blonde character who was the rich boy, I instantly said to myself, I cannot wait for him to die.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I have in my notes verbatim. I said, I can't wait for Chad to die. That's the exact words.
I don't even know his character's name. I like that. You named him
Trent. That was his name. Trent.
Yeah. You named him Chad. That's funny because I named the guy in the last movie Chad.
Because that's what they are. I mean, it, like the horror trope of it, it's a Chad. You know, Chad's the, like the fucking rich boy. You know,
I named him Douche Bro.
Yeah.
So I even say Douche Crew is staying at Douche Bro's family cabin near Crystal Lake,
which is incredible to me that nothing has ever happened. They build this whole cabin on Crystal Lake, near Crystal Lake. They've had it in the family forever, it seems, and nothing has ever happened until now, which is kind of crazy.
Don't fuck with his weed, man. That's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
They encroached on his territory, so he came back for revenge. Remember that? Because they went to him, and then once he found out, like when he found Jared Padalecki's backpack or whatever. I know we're getting ahead there, but that's when he starts exploring the whole camp area because he knows where they're at now. So he probably left it alone because it was like, "Don't fuck with me, I won't fuck with you," kind of deal.
You know what's crazy is when the lead character, I don't know his name, Motorcycle Man.
Jared.
When Jared,
his character's name was Clay. I just named him Jared.
All right. So when Clay, when Clay is going around and he goes and he's trying to search for his sister who went missing a month and a half earlier, who is Killer Frost. Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
No, his sister was the one who was from the first half. Killer Frost was the one that he's with the rest of the movie.
As I call it, the red herring, because it makes it look like she's going to be the survivor girl.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Who was it? We'll call her Survivor Girl. So Survivor Girl.
Character name was like Whitney, but yeah, Survivor Girl.
Okay. Whitney, was taken by Jason and not killed. Clay's looking for her, and, Clay goes up to this woman's house and was like, this old woman's house was like, "Hey, have you seen this girl?" And the woman straight up knows about Jason and knows that he's killing people, and she's just like, "We don't take kindly to people around here. You better stay away because he doesn't like visitors."
Yeah.
Why haven't you called the police?
Well, there's that scene of where he's talking to the police, where Jared or Clay is talking to the police. The police officer's like, we're looking for him. People go missing in the woods all the time. He's so dismissive. I have a quote from her also, and it was people go missing around here, and once they're gone for good. Just like,
is that whole town covering up for Jason? Like, is this a bigger thing?
It seems like even in the movies the older movies too, because you had the dude that was on his bike that was like, it's cursed, the camp is cursed, so you have like people in town that know. I think, and in this case, I did the same thing. I wrote the same thing down for the most part. I said, no wonder why Jason is killing everyone. Everyone in town is a fucking asshole. From the state, like the gas station clerk, mm-hmm. that weirdo in the fucking barn that was selling weed and like wanted to fuck a mannequin.
Yeah, that was the guy. I named him Tucker and Dale.
Dude, oh my God. It's Scooter from Borderlands, dude. Catch a ride! Like, that was...
No, he wasn't nice enough because he was like, what? Yeah. Boy, you scared. I almost opened a can of whoop.
No, he said, I quoted this because it was my favorite line. You almost hit the start button on a whoop ass machine, boy.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude. Oh, so fucking creepy.
I also have douche bro, a douche about his douche pad.
Yeah, he was really like, if someone is that rich and like, they're just like, I replace it, just whatever. Like, he's so scared and like, he's just like, hey man, these floors are mahogany. Stop. You can't even walk on them.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a douche bro trying to get into Killer Frost pants and is shot down.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Killer Frost.
Yeah. Tucker and Dale found the weed and is trying to sell it to Jared.
Yeah.
I said, what's the deal with this fuck Christmas shirt?
I saw that too. And I was
I don't even remember that. Now.
I wanted it backstory.
Douche friend, as I've named him in this, douche friend. It was the other dude, the other white dude, the one that goes takes the boat out.
Oh, you're talking about Chris Rowe from the Ataris circa fucking So Long Astoria?
Yeah, seriously. Like, all of them have, like, this crazy... And, like, not even, like, late 2000s hair. Like, the swoop and stuff is, like, so 2002, 2003. Mm-hmm. The fact this is, like, 2010 is, like... Or 2009 is still, like... I've seen you... If I ever saw you in real life, like, you would immediately be the target of my, like, just... mockery. Would just like, what the fuck are you, your hair, what has happened? Did you put a hat on or like a helmet and then blow dry your hair so you get those little wings around your ears? What the fuck did you do, man. Bud,
he's been in a couple of things. I remember he was in a show called Party Down that I really liked. It was like a comedy show, and
Party Down was real good.
Yeah, he's what he's been in, I liked him, but yeah, he's always played like the dopey character, and in this one it's no different. Like, he serves his role as a victim. Like, he just some dopey fuck that you're ready to see die, and he dies in an awesome way.
Man, yeah, I really thought the Asian kid would have lived, but then I remembered he was smoking weed.
Yeah,
later, man. Yeah, he broke the rules.
The rules. I have so going along with the story. So I don't know if we've mentioned. So Jared, we did a little bit. Jared Clay is looking for a sister, so he's handing out flyers, which is kind of. He's talking to the guy at the gas station. The guy's not really answering him. And douche bro is just a dick to him. Just a straight up dick from the get go.
Yeah.
So anyways, he's going around passing out flyers. He meets Tucker and Dale, and he meets the old woman. And then he ends up at their cabin and he rings the doorbell or whatever. And he's talking to Killer Frost and they're like making eyes at each other. And then, the douche bro just literally like, get the fuck off my property, bro. Like, what the fuck are you doing here, you pussy? Get the fuck out of here. You want to fucking fight? And I was like, douche bro is clearly threatened by Jared and his bike and his height and the fact that he boned Rory Gilmore. Am I right?
I love that the Jared was like pulling the whole South Park. He's like, I'm not your buddy, guy. Like, whatever.
You don't. He's like. I don't know you. Yeah, you don't. I know. I just said that.
Yeah, because Jared. Okay, that character. I don't know if it was. I mean, it was written like that, but he did like everything the douche bro would say to him. Everything that Chad would say to him, he would just repeat to him. Like, that was their whole fucking interaction. Every single in the gas station was the same thing. He's like, "You got a problem? I don't know. Do I have a problem?" It's like, what is this, a shitty improv class?
And then immediately after that scene, we go back to Tucker and Dale, who are now. Who's now like, he's smoking weed and he's looking at porn, which, man, I know, like, it's just a photo, but they showed a lot of that photo, which is like, are you allowed to show that in a movie? Like, that's all right. And I even put, probably going to get off by Jason here soon, because why else would we be seeing this idiot again?
Yeah.
And then my notes, is Jason mad that people are taking his weed?
That's what I do, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, yeah, there's a, he goes up to the attic, he hears like some movement or attic storage area or whatever, it's spooked by a mannequin, and we see Jason step out of the shadows behind him, and I was like, cliche shot, but boy do I like it. Like, what just a good shot for just that, the shadowy figure stepping out in the background. He spins around, he sees Jason, and he gets his throat cut, and then in this whole interaction or whatever, like, stuff gets knocked over and Jason finds the hockey mask, which I loved because there was a cue that's so Jason right when he sees it. The
yeah, it was like calling to him.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck yeah. Yes.
I like that the mask got its own origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so at this point after that, we see the douche friend take out douche bro's douche boat.
Yeah.
The girl, my note says, girl is water skiing topless, because, I mean, what could go wrong?
Right. I want to make note, Derek Mears, the guy who played Jason, is pretty fucking scary. Like, this dude, I think he's a former pro wrestler, too, but he's, like, in real life, he's, like, way over, like, 6'4 or something like
he's
that.
He's 6'5. A big,
yeah, he's a huge dude, so I loved it. That he got picked for this role because he did a great job in it.
I was amazed by that scene where they're on the boat because of the fact that I was like, all right. And I said this, texted to you guys, like, Jason's Laura Croft now. Come on. Cause dude shoots an arrow from a boat. He's on the shore. And the boat's going like 40. Jason has like one eye.
Yeah.
And he's shooting a bow and arrow. Like,
well, it's like squinting, you know, like when you close one eye to aim. So Jason doesn't need to do that.
Yeah, he's already got that done. Also, yeah. You gotta think, like, again, he's kind of like survivalist in this. I mean, like, I guess he's been foraging for food. This motherfucker ain't going into town.
Well, and you see at his cabin, you see the arrows and you see the targets. So, I mean, the dude obviously has got nothing going on when he's not killing teens, so he's probably just honing his skills.
Yeah.
Like, I can totally see that. Like, I mean, like I said, yeah, going into the whole survivalist thing, I think that, like, that's what I kind of expected it from him. Yeah, it was ridiculous, but it was still fun to watch. And it was fun to see that arrow go right through the dude's eye.
Yeah. Dude gets domed. And what I liked is, like, she wiped out, dude turns the boat around to get her, gets shot in the head with an arrow. And now the boat is charging at her full speed. Let's see how this plays out. And then my next note is just because she got hit in the head with a boat and is now yelling at him because she's like, motherfucker, come pick me, what are you doing? And she's like bleeding profusely. And then I have, so she's bleeding a lot because head trauma, and she sees Jason looking at her from the woods. He pulls out his machete, and man, how fucking terrifying would that be IRL? Because good god. Like, what are you staring at, you creep, just standing there in the woods? Because presumably she doesn't know that the dude's dead, right? So, like, just to turn around and there's that guy just standing there watching. And then he pulls out, like, a 4-foot-long machete.
It's like fucking Buster Sword from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah. She gets killed in a cool way, too. Very, like, I don't want to say cliche, but, like, you know, it's a machete to the head, but it's through the dock. But I like that he's trying to pull the machete out, and you see her rise out of the water and hit her head on the dock that she's, like, hiding under. And then he pulls it free, and she slumps back out underwater.
That was awesome.
Was like, that was a good kill.
And it was a sudden kill, too. It was like, boom, boom, and that's it. And it was great. Yeah, I definitely, in my notes, I had, I was like, why does every set location look like a broken down shenanigans? Because that was kind of going back to that cabin. But also, like, it's crazy, like, seeing, you know, I was like, is Jason really at fault? Because once again, we talked about the weed farming, and it's like, everyone's trespassing on his land. In 2019, he'd just be considered conservative. Get off my property.
Yeah.
You know, like a militia dude. You know, I mean, that's really what this is. Like, I felt kind of bad for Jason. He's just defending his property.
Yeah. Yeah, and I got to think also, I mean, as a child, all he saw was he saw his mom get her head cut off by some random camper. Well, you know what I mean? Like, he does, he probably doesn't know or understand that his mom was murdering teenagers, but
yeah,
you know what I mean? So then they, Killer Frost and Jared find the camp. They go check out the cabins. In fact, I have the quote, "We should check the cabins."
Yeah.
Sure. Like, okay, you dumb fucks. What are you doing? Like, that's
at
how
night.
You... That's how you get tetanus. Yeah, that's another thing. So they find the camp and it's still daylight. Okay, and they're checking it out because it goes from that. It cuts from that shot of them finding the camp to the girl getting killed in the lake underneath the dock. Like it goes from that to that, and then we cut back to the camp, which they're still exploring. I guess haven't checked any cabins yet, and it's dark. Mm-hmm. And it was like my notes. It got dark fast.
Yeah,
like real fast. But this is where Jason kind of spots them, or they spot Jason, they hide from him, he finds their bag, and that's kind of what sets off the rest of the night.
Yeah.
As far as he thinks he may have, you know, gotten some more campers or whatever, and or, you know, people in the woods, and now he knows that there's people who have found Camp Crystal Lake, and he mm-hmm. is, like, chasing them. And that's when they ring the bell.
Yes.
As they're running away from the camp, he hasn't spotted them yet, and they're running away, and they trip over a wire, or a chain or whatever, and they ring a bell, which then takes us down to his tunnels underneath the camp and stuff, and we see the sister for the first time since before the opening title card, and she's alive. And I, in my notes, like, before they reveal any of it, I was just like, they managed to escape, but not before triggering an alarm in the house. Oh my god, his sister is alive? What the fuck? Why?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because she looks like the girl in the locket. Like,
yep, that's like, what I said too. That's the only reason. And that's, I think that's an ode to part four, because in part four was more Corey Feldman, where he was like made himself look like young Jason, and the sister I think was wearing the sweater to basically throw Jason off and make him like somewhat compliant. And I feel like having the mother camper kind of like relationship, like that comparison is an ode to part four. So we've made it to Friday the 13th part four so far. Yeah. And I think that's where it ends, because like after that the shit just gets supernatural and unrealistic in the series.
Yeah. That's when I go, oh, there's so many rats, clean up your place, Jason.
Yeah.
Very interesting to see Jason sharpening his machete, like we mentioned earlier. And then she manages to like break out and she escapes and she finds all the dead bodies, which I say, ew, gross. No wonder you have rats, Jason.
And she steps over her dead boyfriend.
Yeah. And I was like, how is there still 45 minutes left in this movie? Like, so we're at like the hour mark, because it's an hour, 45 minute long movie.
Also, was she playing Skyrim or something? Because her lockpick skills were way too good for someone who you wouldn't expect, you know?
Why? I mean, he's a survivalist. Pick locks.
I don't know. And that was an old ass lock too. I was like, that predates the 80s right there. It looks like something from like a medieval dungeon.
Yeah. So back at the cabin, they break a chair and they send the Asian character to go to the tool shed to get some tools. And then meanwhile, Douche Bro starts hooking up with the other chick, the last remaining chick, because Killer Frost is off with Jared right now, so the only remaining chick. Let's see, because I have after that, no one's concerned that the other friends who took the boat aren't back yet. More boobs.
Yeah.
More boobs. The black friend is about to jack off to a magazine.
Like, in the main room, don't you have a fucking bedroom to go to?
Right. And also, it was just like a catalog.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. At that point, Jared and Frost return. They led Jason right to them, and as he's approaching, he can see Douche Bro banging last remaining chick. Jason heads to the tool shed and is going to find Trevor, which is what I've named the Asian character in my notes. Trevor. And then they had an interesting interaction. It kind of went real quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of another like, oh, there's Jason. And I kind of felt bad. I kind of felt bad for the Asian character too, because his was like the most pathetic death in a way, where it was just like, this dude, yeah, he did drugs, so I get it, in the war he's got to go, but yeah, he was just like pleading, and he got a screwdriver to like the underside of his jaw,
mm-hmm.
like neck, like, and I'm guessing to the brain, because it went all the way in, and it was fucked up.
The interaction between him and Jason was great. Yeah, it was because so Jason peered out of nowhere while the kid had a hockey stick in his hand. And then he's like, oh, I guess you want this, huh? And then Jason beat the shit out of him, like threw him across this garage, which this garage was better than most places I've lived in.
Yeah. Like, and the dude says it too. He's like, okay, rich people, this most regular people would call this a house.
Yeah. I love that too. And he just goes right into the liquor. And just it's funny. It's funny seeing him, like, you knew he was going to go from the get-go, but it's just funny watching that stuff. Or like the condoms at the beginning. What'd you bring the condoms for? I don't know.
An experiment, he said.
The sister made it to the window. Made it to the window. Was about to start banging on the window of the couple screwing, of douche bro and the girl. And Jason catches her and carries her off. Now, I have a note later in my notes, which we'll go to now. He somehow took her all the way back to his house and got her chained back up before the rest of the movie took place, which to us seems like seconds, or, you know, or minutes. So they call the cops. The cops show up, and in my notes I have, cops are here, followed immediately by, cops aren't here.
God, what an idiot. That cop.
Well, that may have been before... Oh, that was after. Okay, so they send the black guy just goes out to go find his friend in the tool shed and takes a pot or a pan with him as like a shield. And then he runs into Jason and he kind of like outsmarts him and outruns him and gets out and is running back. And Jason should qualify for the Olympics with this fucking toss. He picks up an axe, swings it around about behind his head and chunks it. And it just flies 50 feet and catches the dude in the back.
Oh, and then right in the spine
right in the spine. The guy is lying there on like a pile of wood, which is also funny, and like is begging for help. And at that point everyone's like, oh shit, something's actually going on. And Jason cut power to the house at some point, and I have in my notes, douche bro douching about how power goes out all the time. They can hear him begging for help outside. And then, like, Jason, I guess, gets to him, flips him over, and slams him down on the axe, exploding out of his chest, which was, again, a really cool death.
Yeah.
We complained about this with Elm Street, that the deaths weren't very original and creative. And in this one, you know, because it's Jason. So, like, whoa, what are you going to do now? Well, apparently, a lot of things.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that thoroughly. That whole aspect of it.
So then we get into the whole final sequence of the movie where they're kind of fighting Jason in the house. And the girl that was banging douche bro, I think she got it worse than anybody, because he sneaks up on her in a bathroom, hangs her on some like towel hooks.
It was like, but it was like deer antlers.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, it was deer antlers that were made to be like, you know, like towel hooks.
Yeah. So that happens. And then other things are happening in the house, and she like falls off of them in the bathroom, and douche bro's found his father's gun and shoots into the door, probably hitting her a couple more times. She's already dead, but like shoots her a couple more times. And then like after the cop, they run out to the car cause they don't see him. And her body falls onto the cop car. What did she do wrong aside from apparently having the perfect boobs?
Your breasts are perfectly symmetrical. Your nipples work so well. Your nipple placement. Like, he was getting way into detail, and I was just like, oh, this has gotten kind of creepy.
Yeah, and like, how much of that was actually scripted versus how much of it was just this dude being a creep?
Right? He's like, we got to redo the scene. I feel like I didn't give my best.
Yeah. Also, there was one part after the black friend died, and he's like, we see them looking out the window, reacting to it, and then the shot pans up, and Jason's on the roof.
Yeah, on the how the fuck did he do that?
My notes is all caps. How the fuck did he get on the roof?
He got some fucking Call of Duty scaling skills or something, dude. He was insta jump that roof.
So they go running off in the woods, and all that's left is Douche Bro, Killer Frost, and Jared at this point. I think everyone else has died. Douche Bro almost gets hit by a car. And they leave it to make you think, like, oh, shit, Jason's driving a car now. And he's so slow to approach the car. And then all of a sudden, just, like, machete through the chest.
Yes!
Kind of classic Jason kill. And then he picks him up, and he, like, slams him onto, like, the towing rig. So, like, the towing spike is, like, sticking out of him. And it spooks the driver. And the driver drives off with Douche Bro being dragged behind.
It was awesome. And it was kind of justifiable. Especially going back to the death when he starts shooting through the door and he finds out that girl was on the other side. I love that he was like, oh, Jason killed her too. Like, just in case. Like, he was covering his own base.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the whole Chris Farley, like, what did you do? From Tommy Boy.
So in the woods, they find his house. They go in, they find the sister. And they get her free, and she, so they're getting out, and I have at this point, okay, so now the sister's here. Who's going to die? Is it going to be Killer Frost? Is it going to be Jared, or is it going to be the sister? Mm-hmm. And pretty quickly, it was Killer Frost. She does not make it out. They're trying to get through the tunnels, and she gets stabbed through the chest. Yeah. And I have in there, like, such a shame. She was the most innocent one of the whole movie. We didn't see her drinking. We never saw her do any drugs. And she definitely wasn't having sex with anybody. Yeah. And I was like, man, it's like, she is like the, like, kind of a red herring in that, like, she's exactly been innocent the entire time. And she's the one who she got killed in the end. Jason keeps, you know, chasing them, and they take him to Tucker and Dale's workshop place. And then which movie is it that Jason is in the barn and dies?
That's the end of three. Because the end of three ends that way, and then the beginning of four starts that way. Like, they start with, like, the cops basically, like, cleaning up the scene and then leaving. And like I said, I think this is like a perfect, like, 1-4 scenario, and it was cool like that, seeing that.
So they use the chain and they hang him for a second. I'm like, that's where I was like, oh shit, this is Jason 3. We've seen this. And then the wood breaks and he falls, but then the wood gets caught in the wood chipper that's been turned on and kind of drags him and I guess kills him. And it looked like it was hitting his head, but there was no gore to it. So I'm guessing it didn't like cut into his head.
I think they did that just to kind of like keep the series going if there was enough hype, which is kind of weird that they didn't make another one immediately after this.
I wonder if Nightmare
Fall. Yeah, Nightmare failed and they were like, we're done with reboots or whatever.
Yeah. Then after that, they dump his body into the lake, which I put, why are they doing this? Don't they know that's what brings him back?
when the magical powers.
Fire? Yeah.
And actually, I think that's an ode to 5 or 6, because they locked him down in the lake. And then, like, I think it was, I can't remember if it was 6 or 7, where the girl has, like, psychic powers and she brings him back up on accident. Yeah. And I think that was a cool transition, once again, of love, just that they put him in the lake, because that's where Jason kind of belongs in a way.
Yeah. You know? And then the very final shot is him busting through the dock and grabbing the sister in a really, like, kind of classic 80s, like, kind of way. Like, I don't know, so over the top that he just, like, from the bottom of the lake, busts through the dock with enough force to grab her. But so that's the movie in a nutshell, and all of our kind of just notes and stuff on it. It was a good remake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Let's give our kind of final thoughts on it and score it. And I mean, I thought it was a fantastic film compared to Friday the 13th.
Nightmare
on Elm Street. You're going to compare,
definitely better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this movie only received a 34 on Metacritic for some reason. And then it only received a 50 on IMDb, which surprises me, because it was a really well thought out, planned movie with a lot of great kills, and it told a great Jason story. So I don't understand that.
Yeah, it was definitely better than fucking Jason Goes to Hell. I think that's the worst one, in my opinion. And out of all the ones, I'll even go Jason Takes Manhattan. Those two, like 8 and 9, were some of the worst ones. So this was great in comparison. And once again, like you said, for a reboot, I think they did a good job of kind of like paying homage. I enjoyed it for what it was worth. And like I said, I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan. And I came away with this movie satisfied.
Yeah.
And also, by the way, I was looking at the budget because I was like, why didn't this get a sequel? Budget was $19 million. Box office was between $91.4 and $92.7 million. How the fuck did this not get a sequel?
I don't understand. I don't understand that either.
That's considered a success. I mean, like, especially in the horror movie genre world, like, that is.
They made like 4 times their money back. Like, that's, dude.
It's weird. It's weird. Kev, since you're the biggest fan, let's hear you first. What are your final thoughts and what is your score?
Once again, I think this was a great movie, especially for a reboot. I think this is one of the better reboots that I've seen in recent years. I think they did a great job with Jason. Like I said, they modernized him in a way with the running, but I think that made it more terrifying. Like I said, I said running Jason is terrifying Jason. And I said, great ending that pays tribute to the original, because once again, the original had the kid jump, you know, Jason coming from the boat and pulling the girl under.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great. I give it 4 dead counselors out of 5.
Nice. Same thing. I love the modern take on Jason, the way that he just, how do you make something terrifying already even more terrifying? And you just add running.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this big menacing figure just running at you with a machete is just, it blows your mind. So, I really dug it, and you should definitely watch it if you haven't seen it yet. And I give it 4 antler hooks out of 5.
I like it.
Yeah, just echoing everything you guys said. I also think it's interesting. Like, yeah, for the most part, running does make things scarier, especially like zombies and stuff, things that typically shamble and or stalk, because it's kind of been a thing with a lot of these classic horror film characters, like Michael Myers and Freddy and stuff, is that they kind of, you know, you see them appear in the background, or they slowly, or they're watching from a distance, like Michael Myers. But the only one who wasn't scary when he ran was Freddy. I don't know if you guys remember his stupid long arms.
Yeah.
That came out in the original movie. So dumb. But definitely made him more terrifying and more brutal. It really, really sold the, like, how just violent his kills were. It was like the amount of like emphasis he was putting into getting these people. Like I'm not going to slowly just track you through the woods. I'm going to be on your heels. And I like that a lot. It made him way scarier. I give this movie 4.5 perfectly placed nipples out of 5.
Nice.
Symmetrically placed. Perfect symmetry. That's good. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, nice. At the 0.5, one was just a little off.
Hey, it happens. BLT, baby.
All right, well, that's it for this week. Next week, stay tuned, because we're going to bring you...
2004's Dawn of the Dead.
Yes, I'm so hyped for that. I love that movie. It's one of my favorite Zack Snyder movies.
No, great cast. This is, I think, the only movie out of all of these that I've seen. I don't think I've seen any of the other movies that we're doing.
Really?
Including the ones we've already watched. Yeah, I've never seen The Nightmare on Elm Street. I've never seen this Friday the 13th.
Wow.
And I haven't seen the new Child's Play, and I haven't seen the new Halloween. So the only one that I've seen so far is 2004's Dawn of the Dead, and I'm pumped because I love that movie.
Man, I didn't know that. So both of you are seeing this for the first time. I'm excited. I'm really happy for you guys that you got to see this finally.
Yeah, for sure.
It was good. Nice. I love the Friday the 13th franchise. I mean, just like you, I also have a Friday the 13th tattoo. So, I mean, I love it.
Yeah, and just like you guys, I do too. Where's my pen?
Where's my pen? I'm gonna draw one on real quick.
All right, until next week, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.